Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Good to see each one of you in the Lord's house. We're thankful for this opportunity to stand in this pulpit once again on this special occasion. I appreciate the heart of this church to honor the men of God, encourage God's men, not just them, but their wives and their family, and just laymen. Just laymen, amen, just regular church members to encourage them along the journey. A lot of meetings you go to, you leave more shape than you went. Amen, that's the truth. And used to, I'd go regardless. But over the years, I guess I figured out I didn't need that quite as much as I thought I did. So I started identifying those meetings and feeling liberty and leadership of God to stay away from them. Amen. But this is not one of those meetings. This is a meeting that you can get what you need. Amen. Good spiritual singing, biblical preaching, and we're just thankful for that. Appreciate the good preaching this afternoon. I tell you, seriously, I mean this. I could have left this afternoon, and it was worth the trip. It's worth the trip. Amen. If you weren't here, you missed it. You need to get a copy of that. Brother Brown preached and challenged our heart. I told him, I said, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, and I said he was getting all warm and stirred and hot and fired up. And I thought, well, he's fixing to preach. And then he quit. No, that's off, ain't Brother Brown. He knows I'm kidding. Amen. Amen. We've all had that, haven't you? Us preachers, you preached and you nearly pass out, tripping over your tongue and everything else. And somebody said, why'd you gum around? All you give us was a Sunday school lesson. I drove this, But anyway, I hope God helps us with more than a Sunday school lesson tonight. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, I would ask you to stand and reverence to the scripture. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll start our reading there, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I pray that you will illuminate my mind, give us unction from on high, fresh oil, God, that makes preaching effective and challenging and convicting and changing. I pray, dear Lord, that you will be glorified, magnified, lifted up in this place. I pray, dear Lord, that you would hide us in our calling. And Lord, I know without question you called me to salvation and you've called me to service, to preach the Word of God. I thank you for that. And Lord, I ask you, dear Lord, in these moments that I would, my ultimate motive and desire would be to glorify you. But I also want to help the saints of God. I want to help your people in these days. And I need help. Lord, I'm up here preaching, but I need help. And Lord, what I'm going to be preaching, Lord, tonight, Lord, I'm on the receiving end of it myself, and I need it as well. Please help us, our Father, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing today. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, to this chapter, and we'll be preaching in this scripture tonight. As you know, 1 Thessalonians, the main theme, of course, is the coming of the Lord. That used to be a main theme in church, but it's seemingly fallen to the status of secondary, or if it's even that status. Amen. It used to be referred to, well, it is referred to the blessed hope in the Bible, but it used to be that to us. But I think that we have gotten so comfortable here, and we've grown our roots down and drove our tent stakes down here, that we are really not anticipating and expecting the coming of the Lord. But I found in the scripture that if you are not anticipating, expecting, looking for the coming of the Lord, it will show up in your life. Amen. And you can tell by the way church folk are living that they're not planning on leaving. Amen. That's right. You can tell that. Amen. But if we're looking for the coming of the Lord, it will have an impact upon how that we live. Well, down through these scriptures, we are told several things that we ought to do in light of the coming of Christ. Amen. I call this chapter Second Coming Spirituality. Well, we need that, don't we? Amen. And we've been preaching, or some time ago, several months ago, we preached through these verses. Still not done with it, but we preached, I don't know, probably 14 or so messages out of this passage on Second Coming Spirituality. And the Lord has impressed my heart for the message tonight for us to look at one of these commands that are given and draw our attention to that and spend our time this evening trying to make that big to you. And I trust the Holy Spirit will make that big in you. The verse that God has laid on our heart is verse number 16. It's a big verse. May take you a few minutes to memorize it. And when there's a quoting verse competition or whatever, this verse is one of the short verses of the Bible that people will run to because it's only two words. Amen. But I'm not interested in the length of it. I'm interested in the depth of it. I'm not interested, can I memorize it quickly? I want to know about how to live it. It's one thing to be able to quote it. It's a one thing to be able to, know that it is a command of the Lord, but it's another for me to practice it. Now, listen, I want to ask you, and don't raise your hand, I wonder how many of us in here are doing that verse? Are y'all listening? I'm not preaching where I am. I'm preaching where I need to be. I'm not up here preaching because I'm doing this. I'm up here preaching this because I need to do it and we all need to do it. God didn't put it in there just to fill up space in a chapter. Amen. It is as much a command of the Bible as thou shalt not lie or thou shalt not kill. Amen. Rejoice evermore. To know to do good, doeth it not, is sin. If we know this is God's will and God's commandments, God's word is God's will. You don't have to pray about it. Say amen right there. When something is clearly in the Bible given as a command, as a definite, listen, you don't pray about it. You just practice it. Amen. Like tithing. You don't pray about tithing. Amen. It's already figured for you. Amen. It's just you to do it. Amen. And if you don't do it, it's sin. And always sin, listen now, always sin in the Bible from Genesis on is connected inseparably with death. When you find sin, you find death. Rejoice evermore is a command. Not to do it is sin, and the consequences of that is death. Could that be the reason that our churches are drying up and dying? Amen. And many of them are closing. Emptying out and closing. One of the deadest places you'll go is not the mortuary. Amen. Sometimes it's the sanctuary. And that is sad. Where the people of God who say that they have been risen with Christ. Amen. Those that claim to be forgiven. Those that claim to be pardoned from sin through Calvary's blood. Amen. That's right. And it seems like you can't hardly get a grunt out of people. So we're going to focus our attention on this verse. I don't know. Amen. I've condensed it down or tried to, and finally I just said, Lord, you're just going to have to bring out what you want. It took me 3 services at RBT to deal with rejoice evermore. There's more there than meets the eye. You're to learn to go beyond just reading. Amen. It won't take you but just a second, not even a second, to read it, that verse. But there's a whole lot in it, and I'm not saying that I'm going to give you a whole lot, but I hope I give you something that'll stir you and challenge you and bring conviction on us that God is telling us that we ought to do this. And it's to be done in light of the coming of the Lord. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the higher that our rejoicing ought to be. Amen. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 4, uses more than 2 words, but says basically the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord. Y'all hear that? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now that was coming from the hand of the penman Paul, who was writing in a Roman prison, telling the church at Philippi that your life ought to be filled with joy no matter what the circumstances are. Now you'll have to agree with me tonight that we have made spirituality circumstantial. You can't argue that. You can't argue that, because when people, things are going good in people's lives, they come in, they're skipping, they're smiling. They're happy, but then when there's a reversal, amen, of the circumstance, it's right the opposite. We come in, we're tripping over our bottom lip, amen. Act like God's died. Amen, that's right. And Brother Brown said it today, that most preachers, and I talk to a lot of them too, preacher, and it's a common report, Brother Raines, to hear people make this statement, that this has been the worst, hardest, most difficult year of my ministry. And we've got some folk of our church here, and they can support what I'm about to say. But from January of 2016 to the present has been the toughest, and I've been at RBT 25 years, been the toughest years since I've been there. Been kicked in the gut, gutted, ripped up, stomped, amen, abandoned. You know, people you invest in that say, oh, I'll be here till Jesus comes. They'll bail out on you if you're not careful. Are you listening? And I don't want to make this the message, but I do want to mention it. I have discovered a common denominator. Now, I'm not talking about people that left for ministry. We've had some that gone out to, you know, for ministry or job-related moves. I'm talking about just leaving. Carnality, it was the culprit. Carnality, they know they can go up the road, across town, and they can sit under a silver-tongued, say-nothing preacher. Amen, that's right. Amen. They don't want to go where the fundamentals are preached. They don't want to go where sin is exposed. They want to go somewhere where they have a storyteller, where they have somebody that's more interested in your feelings than your future, more interested in how you feel about them than how you live about the for the Lord. Amen. And that is a hireling. Amen. That's right. Rejoice evermore. I wonder how many lost people will die and go to hell because of the lack of practice of that verse in the believer. Rejoice evermore. Do you think that's going to make what you've got visible? You think it's going to make it vocal? You think sinners will be able to hear it and see it? Amen? Showing them that you don't need dope when there's hope. Amen? Showing them that, listen, life is, the joy of life is not about pleasant circumstances and prosperity and advancement. No, the joy of life is having your sins forgiven and knowing Christ as your Savior. That's what joy is. But no, lost people looks upon us and they see us as miserable or more so than them. And they're going to say, well, you claim to be saved, you go to church, and look at you. You never smile. Spend more time complaining and murmuring. Brother Kerrigan, I'm glad in the New Testament, God didn't do like He did in the Old Testament. I'm glad He didn't kill the murmurers. There wouldn't be too many preachers left. And there probably wouldn't be too many in the pews to preach to. Say amen. But I better get with it or we ain't going to get nowhere. Say amen right there. The word rejoice means to be glad. Be glad, happy, joyful. Amen. To be cheerful. What has happened to that truth right there in our lives? I told our people coming down the road in the van, I said, I'm sick and tired of being defeated. Rejoice evermore is praising the Lord. The Lord showed me this setback there. Rejoice evermore is praising the Lord. What does defeat do? It praises the devil. When we're defeated, we're given allegiance and attention, and we're given action, and we're giving attitude over to the influence and the control of the enemy. Now listen now, before I start on this verse, I want you to notice there's no ifs, ands, or buts in this verse. There's no parentheses for added conditions. Rejoice evermore, but rejoice evermore if. Now that's what we do. We put them insertions in there. So I want us to start and look at this verse quickly. I believe God wants to help us. Ain't no doubt about that. Rejoice evermore. The first thing I want you to see, and I've already mentioned it, I want you to see the force behind it. I want you to notice this was God saying this. And when God says something, it ought to carry some weight to His believers, His sheep that's following Him. Amen. When He says something, it ought to be received and it ought to be practiced. Rejoice evermore. The force of it, it's a command of God. Now listen to this. The commands of God are not His suggestions. Amen. The commands of God are never subject to comforts, conveniences, or circumstances. When God says, thou shalt not, in that light, that means it don't matter if it's dark or sunshiny. It don't matter what month or week of the year it is. It don't matter where your geographical location is. It does not matter, amen? It is to have priority and preeminence in your life. The commands of God are God's personal possibilities. God never commands anything that is not doable. Hello? I want everybody to get that. God's commands are always doable. The commandments of God are the expectations of God. When God says do or don't do, He's expecting results. Say amen right there. Listen. Amen. The commandments of God are what characterizes the Christian. Amen. The commandments of God are not done for us. The commandments of God are always attached to our choice. By the way, rejoice evermore is not just a command, but it is a choice. Say amen right there. Amen. Defeat don't come upon you and take over. Put you in an arm lock and a choke hold and take over. No, it's a choice. When I'm defeated, Brother Steve, it's a choice. Amen. When I'm down in the dumps, amen, it's a choice. I've chosen to think on those thoughts. I've chosen to give attention to those thoughts and to give my attention. Amen. Come on, Lord. Lord's helping me. And to give attention to those thoughts that breed and promote defeat is to take my thoughts away from the Lord. No wonder Paul said in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a command. And by the way, listen to this. The commandments of God, or the commands of God, are never plan B. The commands of God are not second choice or plan B. Say amen. I'm going to move hastily on because I want to get to the last point if I can. Some of you say, yeah, I think that's a good idea, preacher. Number two, I want to say a few things about the family of it. The family of it. Seven times in chapter number 5, you find the ones on the receiving end of rejoice evermore as addressed as brethren. Seven times. Brethren. Two times you'll find in one verse, in verse number 5, that the ones receiving this command to rejoice evermore is called children. Do you see any family talk there? Brethren? At children? You say, what's so important about that? That is, this command is given to God's people. This command is given to the family of God. Are you listening? This is not given to sinners. Why? They have nothing in this life nor in eternity to rejoice over. Sinners, lost people. One breath, Brother Jarvis, away from hell, they have nothing to rejoice about. That's why they have to drink rivers of alcohol. Amen. And smoke dope and pop pills. Why? They're trying to find a little bit of an up. Amen. They're trying to find a little bit of a high. Amen. I'm glad at what God has made available to me. I don't have to drink nothing. I don't have to smoke nothing. I don't have to take a pill to get it. Thank God. It comes with the package of being born again. The family of it. The family. Are you in the family? If you're in the family, then God says, rejoice evermore. I asked a while ago how many in here is doing that. And most of us in here, me included, will have to say no. If you've not rejoiced today, then you hadn't been rejoicing evermore. Now, I'm not talking about rejoicing once today. Evermore, last time I checked, means continually, always, all the way. Not sporadic. Not stop and start. Well, I used to. I plan on it. No, no. Rejoice evermore. It identifies this family as saved. I'd like to get in on some of this, but I'm not. I'm hunting. Guess what point I'm headed for? The last one. Listen, it's a saved family. Been born again. It's not only a saved family, it's a separated family. Oh, Lord, preacher, this is Jubilee. Preacher, surely to goodness you're not going to get on Jubilee. I mean, on sanctification and separation, preacher. Surely you wouldn't do that. We don't need that. Are you kidding me? Hey, are you kidding me? Hey, well, I better get off that. I won't get to the last point if I get on this one. Separated, listen, verse 1 through 10, there is a clear distinction made between God's people and that other crowd that is addressed as they. They, verse number 2, they. Comes into verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us. I'm talking about a separated family. Separation has gone out the window in most churches. Are y'all listening? The majority of the troubles I've had in my 36 years of preaching comes from that one subject right there. If I never said nothing about much of nothing and preached about the beautiful sun rays and the colors in the rainbow and how a hummingbird can fly backwards and all that stuff, oh man, I would have probably had to build on or probably had to build several buildings. I don't know how many people Brother Craig has been through RBT in 25 years. They come and hear our choir. Woo! We want that choir singing. Boy, I love that youth choir, those special numbers and all of that. And Lord's blessed us. I mean, it's unreal how the Lord's blessed us with talent like that. But then when it's time for preaching, they just can't hardly handle that. Amen. Amen. They can't hardly handle that. They don't want to handle it. Amen. They're getting their diet of preaching, their style of preaching, off of the television, and none of those are going to preach against nothing. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed it, but people are leaving fundamental, independent Baptist churches, and they're not going up a grade. They're not looking for somewhere that's tighter. They're not looking for somewhere where it's preached harder. They're looking for somewhere that'll have a coffee shop in the vestibule. They'll come in the place where they've got the flashing lights, where it reminds them of the resemblance of a movie theater. Amen. And then the old preacher comes walking out, if he is such. He's got on his little skinny jeans, amen. He's 75 years old, and he's got on his little skinny jeans and his tinny boppers, amen. And he's got his shirt unbuttoned, amen. Sickening, I'm telling you. But that's what people want. Hey, I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you exactly what I think. Go ahead. I think our churches are, listen, filled with goats. And when they have an opportunity to go after and eat on goat food, that's where they're going. I tell you what, listen. I hope that my preaching makes goats uncomfortable. I mean, I want sinners to get saved, but I think it's a shame if a sinner comes to the house of God and brags on the preaching. Hey, Pat, amen, says, I love that singing. Oh, I just enjoyed the service. Those in darkness don't like light. Amen. Light reproves them. Light convicts them. You know what that tells me, brother? There's not enough light in our church to make them uncomfortable. Well, Lord help me. I got to get off of that now. Y'all help me now. Brother Willis, can I borrow your statement? Y'all got to help me. Help me now. Help me now. How we doing up in the balcony up there? Say amen right there. So there's the family of it. Number three, let's move hastily on because we're headed to what point? The last one. You say, but preacher, you didn't tell me what number it was. Exactly. Woo! I'm not stupid, amen. Amen. There's the force of it. There's the family of it. Then there's the foundation for it. You can't, listen, I know this is deep. This is about as deep as it's going to get. It's about as deep as it's going to get. You can't get to verse 16 without going through 1 through 15. You say, pretty sure you're not going to go through 15 verses. No, I'm not. I'm just simply saying you got to deal with those verses because you can't just start in with verse 16. Rejoicing goes out the window when these previous verses goes out the window. And from verse 1 through 10, the main emphasis of those verses is separation. We're wanting people to shout that's worldly. We're trying to get people pumped up. So come on now. Hello. You know it's right. Pastors, you know it's right. Most of our song service is nothing but an effort to stir up unspiritual people. Preacher, you've been preaching longer than me. Is that right or not?
That's right, brother.
Say that again.
You are right, brother.
Okay. That was spoken with authority. Say amen right there. Amen. We're trying to get people. And here's what God showed me. Rejoicing is not emotional. Rejoicing is conditional. You know why people are not rejoicing? It's not that they're not emotional creatures. And I've heard that till I'm sick of it. Well, preacher, I'm just backwards. No, backwards is not your disposition. Backwards is your direction. That crowd, Brother Wampler, that says they're, you know, well, I'm just kind of reserved and, you know, I'm just kind of backwards. Yeah, give them $1,000. Say, here, since you're reserved and quiet, and I know you won't say nothing about it, but I just want to secretly give you $1,000. They'll get healed of their backwardness immediately. Say amen right there. Or let their grandson run a touchdown. Wow! They'll come unglued, amen. Y'all know that's right. Oh, yes. The foundation of it. Listen, rejoicing is based on what condition you're in. Not circumstances around you, but the condition within you. How many believes that rejoice evermore is spiritual? How many believe that it's scriptural? I mean, we have a verse on it. It's scriptural and it's spiritual. Well, then let me ask you this. Why is it not being done? I tell you what it is, on the inside, it's not the external. We might blame that. Well, preacher, if you knew what I was going through, you know, if you knew how they were talking about me, you'd understand why that I've got the poochie lip 9 times out of every 10 services. No, 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 no. And again, I say no. Amen. Your problem is not what they're saying about you. Your problem is not what the devil's doing. Amen. Your problem is not the valley you're in. Your problem is not the battle you're facing or the burden that's laying upon you. The reason we're not rejoicing, we're in no shape to do it. Brother Mullins, am I still in the book? Am I on target? I didn't need that confirmation. I just was wanting to get it. Hey, man, Uncle Joe, we doing all right? Good. Praise the Lord. I love my Uncle Joe and Aunt Nancy sitting over there. Hey, man, it's condition. Hey, man, you get out and try to walk or run. Listen, you can't do it unless you're in condition. You start trying to do that exercise or whatever, and all of a sudden you're, you know what that's saying? I'm not in shape. I'm not in condition, amen. Amen. Reach and get a certain poundage of weight, and it's like, you know, all you can do to lift it, work out with it a little bit. Get in condition with it, and then it's... So what made the difference? Did the pounds change? No, you just got in condition. Yeah. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's verse number 3, the Bible says that the commandments of God are not grievous. You know what that word grievous means? It is not heavy. It is not weighty. It won't burden you down. Well, preacher, I would do them commandments. I would rejoice evermore, but it's going to weigh me down, preacher. No, the problem is you're not in shape. You're not in condition. Amen. Oh, glory. The lack of rejoicing is not physical, social, financial, circumstantial. It's an inward lack of conditioning. And let me say this to all of us here that are saved. Your spirituality is your responsibility. Whatever shape you're in, whatever condition you're in, whatever temperature you're in spiritually, it is nobody else's fault but your own. Say amen right there. I'm preaching, Brother Robbie, where I need to be, where God wants me to be. David, what was it David prayed? Psalms 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again? Why? That thy people may do what? Rejoice in thee. God's people ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. And I believe, listen, the book of Acts, when you see people praising the Lord, there's people getting saved. Well, we're having a time. Let me move on. We're headed for the last point. Number 4, the fun of it. The fun of it. It did say rejoice. Rejoice is opposite of sadness. Amen. Have you ever seen such a defeated church age? Have you ever seen such a defeated, depressed, down in the dumps Christianity as we're seeing today? You can't even hardly talk to a preacher's got any joy. And I'm afraid I've been guilty of that lot. Say amen right there. And we wonder why lost people are not running to get what we want, what we have. Amen. Listen to this. Bible said rejoice evermore. And if I'm complaining instead of rejoicing, then whatever I'm complaining about has got bigger than what I'm supposed to be rejoicing about. When you're defeated, it's because something got bigger than Jesus. Oh, mercy. Let's just get in the altar, amen. Amen. When you get down in the dumps and all your song's gone, the birds in your heart are not singing. Amen. Oh, yes. You know what happened? You've got your eyes on something that really is not big at all, but the devil's magnified it. The devil's made it bigger than it really is, and it's consuming you. It's all you eat. It's all you think. It's all, amen. It's all you talk about. And I've been there as well. Rejoice evermore, friend. or to have an element of gladness and happiness about it. Amen. Brother Pettit, we've made happiness conditioned by happenings. Well, preacher, if I had different situations and circumstances. No. Jesus had joy enduring the cross. What's your excuse? Jesus had joy enduring the cross, despising the shame. What's my excuse? Why do I have an excuse to go around with a poochie lip? Negative. I don't have an excuse, Uncle Joe, to be sad and down in the dumps and miserable. I'm telling you, you can't handle that. Come on, Lord, you're helping me. Amen. You know what takes over? You know what takes over when you become defeated?
Preach it, dog.
Boredom. Mechanical spirituality. Well, okay, it's Sunday morning. Got to go to church. Do you want to go? Well, no. Had you rather be fishing? Certainly. Well, but you know what? I mean, we got to go to church. Preacher, what was that you said about the habit today? Man, it was so good. I can't. You don't remember? Come on, preacher. Man, you just want to preach it. And it was talking about this right here. Creatures of habit. You do what's right. You go to church. You read your Bible. And it's nothing but habitual. No heart. No reality. No realism. No burden. No joy. Why? I've got to. I have to. This is a part of being a Christian. Amen. And amen, that's right. No fun. Listen. Amen. No joy. No, listen, praise God. Don't you remember when you used to anticipate to go to the house of God because you knew that there was going to be pleasure, there was going to be joy, you was going to get to hear singing, fellowship with God's people, and hear preaching. God give you eternal life, but it's up to you whether it's an enjoyable life. And don't ever mistake enjoyable life to mean easy life. Well, hallelujah. That's good. I thought it was anyhow. Well, let's move on. Number five. We're heading to the last point. No, you don't know if this is it or not. Number five. I want to talk about the forgiveness of it. For rejoice evermore, the forgiveness of it. Now listen, this command, rejoice evermore. Everybody listen up in the balcony. Amen, brother, buddy. I see you up there. The command is not a one-time fragile command that if you mess up on it, you're done. Nothing is said here about messing up and turning your rejoicing evermore into rejoicing nevermore.
Yeah, that's right.
Has any of us messed up on this verse?
Sure.
Today?
Yeah.
Probably even in church. This afternoon and tonight. Oh, yes. Boy, I'm glad it's not a fragile, Brother Smith, a fragile command where, well, if we break it, it's done. We're over. It's history. We'll never be able to rejoice anymore. I'm glad there's forgiveness that's hid out in this term. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore has a starting point. And let it be tonight. Let it be a starting point. Listen, those of you that are here today and you belong to a church, you ought to go to your church Sunday, amen, and stand up and apologize to the church. You ought to ask the church to forgive you that you've been a stick in the mud. You ought to ask the church to forgive you, ask your preacher to forgive you, amen, because that you've been a sorrow-filled Christian, that you've not smiled in weeks, you've not testified, you've not shouted, you've quit singing in the choir. Hey, Preacher Rackley's preaching tonight. Are y'all listening? Amen. And get right. Get right. Say, by the grace of God, tonight and this day forward, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Doesn't mean you go around shouting all the time. No more than pray without ceasing means that you can't do nothing else but pray. Unceasingly pray. It all is referring to a condition. A condition you get in. A constant attitude of prayer. Being in a condition where at any second, any time, anywhere, you can pray. Rejoice evermore means that you're constantly hooked up spiritually. Amen. With the Lord, that you love on Him and you're rejoicing in Him and you're happy in Him and you're glad in Him. Well, praise God, that's right. Nothing is said about not getting to rejoice anymore. Psalms 85:6 did say, revive us again. Amen. Philippians 4:4 did say, and again I say rejoice. Thank God for the word again in the Bible. We've all agreed already. We've messed up on this verse. Rejoice evermore. That means we've sinned against God. And that means we need to get forgiveness for it. And we need to get right with God about it. Say amen right there. And I'll tell you who needs to lead the way. Preacher Racklin needs to lead the way. And RBT pastors need to lead the way. But Steve, I meet preachers all the time. They want their church fired up. Now, they're dead at 4 o'clock. Wonder why in the world they got icicles in the pew when they got a polar bear in the pulpit. Amen. Fire's contagious. Fire catches. Amen. Fire, the natural course of fire is to spread. Amen. If a man of God, amen, just start, amen, that's right, rejoicing. I'm not talking about emotionalism. But, amen. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about reality. Rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing evermore. Amen. Brother Wilshire, are you helping me? There's forgiveness hit out in that statement. Number 6, the future or the forever of this statement. How long is evermore? I know it's one word in here, but let's split it up. How long is ever? When you run out of the definition of ever, that's when you are permitted to be sad. The future or the forever of this statement, rejoice evermore. Amen. Boy, I like this. Listen, Brother Tommy Wentzel, Dr. Wentzel, one of my heroes, he made this statement. A person will not rejoice evermore who does not rejoice anymore. When's the last time you rejoiced in the Lord? And by the way, if you ever do it, nobody will have to tell you you did it. Right. Just like worship, nobody has to define that for you. If you ever get behind the veil, if you ever get where the Shekinah glory is at, if you ever get under the spout where the glory runs out, nobody will have to tell you that you've been and had audience with the King. Hey, man, that's right. Evermore, there's a forever of this verse. Brother Buster, I want you to listen to this. A lot of the commands in the Bible are limited to life and time. Thou shalt not lie. That drops off at the grave. Thou shalt not kill. That drops off of me at the grave. Amen. Say amen right there. Are y'all listening? A lot of the commands of the Bible are conditioned by life. But we're not talking about those commandments. We're talking about an evermore commandment. We're talking about one that doesn't stop with the clods, and nor does it stop with the clouds, nor does it stop at the marriage supper, nor does it stop in an eternity future. It is evermore. Woo! Amen. I'm going to jump ahead right here. You know what that's telling me? That I can be doing now what I'm going to be doing then. Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm going to be rejoicing evermore, then I can be doing that now. Hello. Hey. Hey, man. Think about that. What they're doing in heaven, what I'm going to be doing in heaven 10 trillion years from tonight. Guess what? I'm already told in the Bible, because I'm in the family, I've had the new birth. Rejoice evermore. Glory! Hallelujah! Amen! Pray without ceasing. That's a command. But it's going to drop off. When I die, or Jesus comes, Brother Steve, I won't need nothing no more. I won't need to pray no more. I'll be able to pray some more, but I won't need to pray no more.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, glory to God. Amen. Hey, but this command I'm talking about in that light is really bigger than praying without ceasing. Hold fast to that which is good. Despise not prophesying. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All of those are going to drop off. If Jesus comes tonight, those are gone off of me. Hey, if I die tonight, those things are gone off of me. But rejoice evermore. We'll never drop off. So I suggest, amen, recommend highly that if you're a saved, born again child of God, that you get in with this and get used to it. Where's the worship at in our church? Where's our worship? Where's the worship at? Where's that amazement at of the Lord? I know it's tough. Brother Brown nailed it tight this evening. I believe we're nearly as distant from the Lord as lost people are. You can't worship from a distance. Lost people can't worship because they don't know Him, of course, but they're distant. They're afar off from the Lord. How many people in here is afar off from the Lord? You're still religious, still go to church, sing in a choir, teach a Sunday school lesson, might even pastor a church. But your heart's far from the Lord. Rejoice is not emotion. Rejoice is a condition. What condition are you in? If you're getting bad... Listen, come on now. I'm telling you, preachers, Lord's helping me. If you're getting a bad fix physically, bad condition physically, it becomes a priority. You go to the doctor, you want x-ray, you don't care how much it costs. Right. Amen, bro. Where are you at with the foot? You said that was probably going to be six figures time it's over with. Is that what you told me? Bro, that's a lot of money. You ought to just sucked it up, brother, and just lived with it. You see, he's laughing, don't you? You know why? Because when you got pain and you got something that's going to hinder your abilities in life, listen, money don't mean nothing. I want to get this fixed. I've got to get this fixed. But we get all bent out of shape spiritually. We get the measles and the mumps and the flu and all kinds of spiritual diseases, so to speak. And you know what? We never pray about it. We blame it on other people. Amen. That's right. Make excuses for it. Y'all pray for me. I got to hurry. I'm going to get on the last point. Amen. Well, like this, evermore means at all times, always, ever, at all future times. That's what's in that term, rejoice evermore. Amen. Well, I like it, don't you? I'm going to skip on down because I got to get the last point. Actually, I am on the last one. I mean, when you're talking about the future of it, and it's evermore, how can I put another point on that? I got to go past all that to get on another point. Evermore's got to be the last point, amen? Listen to this right here. As I mentioned earlier, most commands are conditioned by time, people, circumstances, finances, materialism, feelings, amen, dispensation, nationalities, and the list goes on. But not evermore. I like that. Hey, man, dead or alive, I can still do this. Because it's a spiritual thing. Well, we're having a good time anyhow. That's right. Listen, you cannot rejoice evermore unless you are rejoicing in that which is evermore. You know what? You know why we're not rejoicing? We're focusing on things that are temporal. We're focusing on things that are, amen, that are earthly only. We're focusing on things that are fleshly. If God says rejoice evermore, and that is done to be done now, started now, but will never end, has a starting but will never end. Listen, rejoice evermore. Surely it means that there's something that I can rejoice in that is evermore. I wrote this down. Listen today. Listen, my flesh is not evermore. I can't rejoice in that. My friends are not evermore. My fighting and my fame, if I've got any, my failures, my faults, my fainting, my foes, my fears, my fiery trial, all are not eternal. I just gave a list that has my attention a lot of times. You can't rejoice in that. Why? They're not evermore. Amen? Your storm is not evermore. You're to tell your storm you're not permanent. You're to tell your storm that you're going through and you're facing, you're not permanent. You're not eternal. You're temporary. And therefore, I'm not rejoicing based on you. Storms are not evermore. Sufferings is not evermore. Scourging, sorrow, slander, and sacrificing, and all of those things are not evermore. So if I'm to rejoice evermore, I need to rejoice in that which is evermore. And by the way, let me give you this. I know it's one word in our King James Bible, and it is. But I just want to emphasize it. Ever. I already emphasized that, Brother Raines, a while ago. Ever. What about that next word? More. Ever more. While ever's coming and coming and coming and coming, then more and more and more and ever and more. Ever more. Ever more. Ever more. Y'all get that after a while. Son, I'm telling you, when the Lord showed that to me, I about had a fit backwards. Amen. In fact, this very thing is hinted to in Bartimaeus when Jesus come walking by and he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, be quiet, don't bother the master and all that. And guess what the Bible said, Brother Jarvis? He cried out, hold, wait a minute, here it is, cried out the more. You know what that means? He got more louder. He got louder. What he was doing, amen, the closer Jesus got to him, amen, the closer Jesus got to him, what he was doing went to another level, got become more intense, amen. He got louder about it. Hey, how long you been saved? How long have you been saved? Have you been getting louder about it? Have you been getting more and more and more? No, we get less and less and less. Yes. We get saved. We get saved. We can't handle it. I mean, buddy, we tell everybody we see, testify every service, sometimes three or four times a service. But let them be saved for about 6 months or a year. The smile turns upside down. Instead of sitting on the edge of their seat, they're slumped over. Can't wait for the bell to ring. That's not evermore. Some of you ought to say, thank God I've been saved. I've been saved for years and I've been getting less and less in my rejoicing. I need to get more and more. Why? Oh, wait a minute. Y'all can't handle this. I'm going to tell. Because I can't hardly. Evermore goes past the grave. Now, wait a minute. The more is still attached to ever. So that means while the ages roll. More is still attached to ever. Oh, Lord, help us. Sometimes I've been in services, Brother Jarvis, where it seemed like I couldn't stand it. It was so high. It was so holy. I felt like I couldn't stand it. And there was a time or two that I said, Lord, you're going to have to take this off of me. It's killing me. I'm leaving now. I'm going to go right out from under this pew. Amen. I'm going right out of this revival. Amen. That I got saved in two different times. That God had, I asked the Lord to take that off of me. And then He did it too. He'd like cutting a spout off. I went from the almost looking over into the glory world to, God, where'd you go? I crawled out from under that pew. First time out from under a table in a Sunday school class. Second time was in an altar, underneath a choir pew in a service. You said, will God get underneath the pew? Oh, he'll get in the car with you. You'll try that sometime. He'll get in the closet with you. Say amen right there. Oh, yes. I said, Lord, you want to take this off of me? Literally, I thought I was dying. I drunk Miller Low Life and Bud Stupid. And I'd done all that nasty stuff and rot, and I'm ashamed of all that. But God was doing something underneath that choir pew that far exceeded all that other mess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the Lord took that off of me. I slid right back out from under there, sat down. Didn't sense God again. And I got to thinking about that, Brother Hardin. If that wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
The God of all glory.
Yeah.
Smothering me with His power and pray, amen, His glory. And I asked Him to take it off of me. I said, Lord, forgive me. I said, Lord, I'll never do that again and haven't. I said, if it does kill me. Brother, wouldn't that be a way to go? Wouldn't that be a way to go? Come through the pearly gates, jumping up and down, and everybody said, hey, what happened to you? Was it a car wreck? What happened? What happened to you? Tell us how you got here. Well, I was in a revival, sir. And I was underneath a choir pew, just me and God. And it got so thick, it got so big, that my flesh couldn't handle it. And my flesh ceased, and the Spirit took over, and here I am. I died from an overdose of the glory of God. Oh, my goodness. Hey, do you think God has more for you than you can stand? Oh, I want to tell you, He don't give you these little drip droplets, amen. He's got rivers, amen, to flood your soul. Hey, man. I said, Lord, I'll never ask you to take it off me again if it does kill me. Praise God. Amen. Rejoice evermore. 10 trillion years from tonight, Brother Hardin, I'm still going to be involved in that ever part. And I'm still going to be a part of that more part. In other words, it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You say, preacher, how in the world could that be? We're talking about God who is infinite. He has no bounds. Amen. I want to tell you that in the ages to come, He's going to show forth the exceeding riches of His grace toward us. I want to tell you, friend, amen, there will never come a time that you'll be bored in heaven. Or with heavenly things. Rejoice evermore. Let me give you this. I'm trying to give it to you. Amen. Rejoice evermore says, I have evermore reasons to rejoice. You said, preacher, you already mentioned that circumstances is not evermore reason. My trials are not evermore reason. What people are saying about me is not evermore reason. I tell you what is evermore reason. The Savior. Is He evermore? You know what we act like, Brother Steve? When a trial comes our way, we act like God fell off the throne. Don't we, brother? Don't we see us? Come on now. Hello. You know that's right. We're up and everything's fine, Brother Moss. And then all of a sudden, we have a negative circumstance. We have a situation. And all of a sudden, we get the poochy lip. We get quiet. We get miserable looking, sad, start becoming unfaithful in the spiritual responsibilities of life. I want to tell you, Jesus don't fall off the throne every time a dark cloud comes in your life. Brother Brown preached about Job. God was very much on the throne, buddy, when Job was going through all of that. Very much on the throne. Hey, man. I really do think that we have in our mind that once you get saved, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be sunshiny and smooth and easy. And nothing's further from the truth. I tell you what. You're getting that idea off of the TV. You're not getting that out of the Bible. Say amen right there. And preachers on there, if so-called preachers, amen, they've got their own jets and living multi-millionaires. Of course they're going to say that prosperity's of God. But I've got a big problem. The most perfect human being that has ever lived, Jesus Christ, said the foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Nobody, amen. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. The Savior is evermore. First mention of this word rejoice is found in Matthew 2 and 10. When the Bible said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. What was that about? That was about Jesus. Amen. Listen to this. John 19 and verse 3. Hail. There's the word. Hail, King of the Jews. Of course, it was being used in mockery. Listen, Judas used it in mockery. Judas used this word rejoice in Matthew 26, 49 in mockery. When he said, Hail, King of the Jews. He acted as though, listen, he loved the Lord, but it was all fake. Here's a statement. Fake worship is the enemy's plot to reveal and identify who Jesus is for wrong reasons. False worship does that. Fake worship does that. But I want to tell you what. Real worship does that. I'm talking about real worship points him out. Real worship, just like Judas used fake worship, kissed the cheek of Jesus in effort just to point him out. Here he is. There's the one. We ought to have real worship, real rejoicing, pointing out who Jesus is. Could it be a lot of lost people never see the Lord because we don't point him out? How do you point him out? Through your rejoicing. Well, I'm going to skip over a lot of this. What about your salvation? Is that not evermore? Hello? Is that not evermore? Oh yeah, that's that. Yeah, that's right. We're not saved by grace. We're saved by grace. Amen? Luke 19 and verse number 6, Zacchaeus received him. Here's the word, Brother Chris. Joyfully. Salvation. Luke 10 and verse number 20. Jesus said to those that were bragging about how the serpents and everything was subject to them and all that. He said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. There's the word. He said, don't rejoice over that. That's not, you know why? That's not evermore stuff. He said that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written where? In heaven. That's evermore. Heaven is an evermore place. Amen. My name is written in heaven. I am saved and I can rejoice. If a valley comes, I'm still saved. If a mountain comes, I'm still saved. If trouble comes, I'm still saved. If they're talking about me or patting me on the back, it doesn't change the fact that I'm ever more saved. Amen. Glory to God. I like it. Luke 15:32. Rejoice. Rejoice with me, Jesus said. Y'all didn't hear that. Rejoice with me, for I have found that one which is lost. Jesus said rejoice, but I like this part. Hello, y'all listening? With me. You know what that means? Hey, man, come here, preacher. Come here. Let me illustrate what with me is. Amen, preacher. Brother, I want you to walk with me. Y'all, are y'all seeing? With me means what I'm doing, he's doing. Jesus said, rejoice with me. So Jesus is saying over those that he found that was lost, woo, glory! With me means,
I'll rejoice too. Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
Remind me not to use Brother Buster as an illustration next time. No, I'm just kidding, preacher. God bless you. Amen. Rejoice with me means what I'm doing, you do. Jesus said, what I'm doing, I'm rejoicing over the sheep that's been found. I'm rejoicing over the son that's come home. I'm rejoicing, and I want you to rejoice with me.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to rejoice with me. If Jesus can rejoice over those, oh, come on now. If Jesus can rejoice over those that have been found, how much more, or at least equally so, those that are found rejoice in it? How many's been found? How many in here, Jesus found you? Jesus found you. He come into the wilderness. He come into the night. He come into the darkness. He come into where you were when you wasn't looking for Him. He come to where you were. Thank God He found you. You know what He's doing. You know what Jesus... Wait a minute. Come on. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. Not what He did. What He did. It's what He is still yet doing. In fact, oh Lord, help me. In fact, in Luke 15, it made it very clear that there's what is going on in heaven. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The angels are not rejoicing. Because they don't know nothing about grace. They don't know nothing about redemption. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing about being lifted from the mire and put in the choir. They don't know nothing about that. Having sins forgiven. No, it's in the presence of the angels. Well, who's in the presence of the angels? Amen. Glory! I'm about to blow a gasket. And that's not good when you got high blood pressure. Glory to God. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, Brother Pettit, and He's still rejoicing over you getting saved. Don't get excited about that, Brother Pettit. We don't want you to hurt yourself.
Amen.
But that means your salvation will never get old to Him. He shouted, He rejoiced the day I got in, the time I got in, the moment I got in, and He's never stopped.
Amen.
I rejoiced the night I got in, Brother Raines, but sad, there's been many times it has stopped. Was it excusable? No. What stopped it then, preacher? Something temporal, something earthly, a distraction. A storm, a trial. Jesus is... Listen, I don't want y'all to get excited and have to take a nerve pill tonight, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has not got over, nor will He ever get over you being born into the family of God. I want to tell you, every time one repents and believes the gospel, he says, thank God for Calvary. I'll do it again. I'll shed my blood again so that men, women, boys, and girls can be saved by the grace of God. He's rejoicing. My question is, why are we not? Amen. Well, the Savior's an evermore subject. Salvation's an evermore subject. The Scriptures is an evermore subject. They're forever settled. How long? Forever settled in heaven. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to get through here. I'm on the last point. Yeah, but preacher, you didn't tell us there's 10 sub-points. I'm not telling you there are 10. Listen, the law of the Lord, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. What? Rejoicing the heart. I hold on earth a copy of what's in heaven. Don't get too excited about that. This is a tangible piece of heaven right here. Amen. On earth. Glory! Oh, how many times, well, the Lord's helping me, Brother Craig, how many times have I wasn't rejoicing evermore, but I went in and I opened the pages of God's Word, and the Word of God, thank God, began to communicate heaven to my soul and began to speak to my heart, and next thing I knew, sadness was gone and I was rejoicing in the Lord. Circumstances hadn't changed. Situations hadn't changed. But the Word of God made the difference. Paul, in the worst storm in his life, in Acts 27, and after long abstinence, that is, he got away, he slid away, he found him a private place, the storm was raging, it was dark, they hadn't seen sun or moon in many days. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He went down there and got along with God. He's probably the only saved one on the ship, maybe Luke. I don't know if he was with him or not. Chances are he was. But here's the thing. He went and got along, Brother Kerrigan, with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Paul steps back out after a while. After long abstinence, and I don't know how that long that was. It's amazing how a long storm can develop a long prayer time. And so, he steps back out, still dark, can't see sun or moon, or many days. Hey man, looked like it was going under, looked like it wasn't going to make it, but he steps out, he's glowing, thank God. He said, hey, I want to let you know something, be of good cheer. What? Be of good cheer, but Paul, it's dark, the storm's raging, it looks like we're going under in spite of everything. Be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I believe God that it's going to be even, here, watch out now, are you ready? Even as it was told me. Paul got a word from the Lord in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the danger, in the midst of the storm. Paul got a word that was bigger than the darkness. Paul got a word that was bigger than the danger. And it changed everything. The Scriptures. This is it. Y'all killing me. The second coming. The second coming. 1 Peter, listen, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 in verse number 8, I'm going to turn right there and read it. Listen to this. And I'll read verse 7, and I'm going to read verse 6 with it. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Some of you are in heaviness. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, listen, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory when at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen at this. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, though now you see him not, yet believeth, you rejoice. There's our word. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What would it do to Welcome Baptist Church, RBT? Amen. And Little Rock, all these churches represented. What would it do Sunday morning? If everybody come to church, Brother Willis, at Life Baptist Church, if everybody come to church fired up about looking for, anticipating, expecting the coming of the Lord. Brother Brown, we're preaching to people that about leaving that are not interested in leaving. We're preaching about Jesus Christ coming, and that don't even do much for them because they like it so well now and here. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm not a prophet, and I could be 100 miles off. I hope I am. But I think things are quickly fixing to change in this country. The bottom, no doubt, is fixing to fall out in this country. It's like a boiling pot. The international community is like a boiling pot, and fingers are on the trigger and they're shaking, just ready to mash the button, pull the trigger. And then all of a sudden, materialism's not going to be such a big deal anymore. Comfort is probably one of the greatest enemies of spirituality. Why do I need to really need God, preacher? I mean, look at me, man. Hey, we're paying our bills. We've got four cars and three four-wheelers and two boats. Hey, look at us, man. Making more money than we've ever made in our life. Some of you can say that. But when's the last time you got excited as, let me just say it this way. When's the last time you got as excited about the Lord's return as you did the car you drive, or the house you live in, or the bank account, or the money you're making, or the pay raise, or the promotion? You know why we rejoice in those things? That's where our heart is. Where your heart is, everybody in the choir listening, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And you know that God has your heart when He becomes your treasure. If God is not your treasure, He doesn't have your heart. Young people in our churches today, they're so hooked up and out of touch with holy and spiritual and divine and intimate things. Amen. They're so influenced by all of this mega technology that we've got. I talked to a preacher, Brother Chad Watson. He was telling me a statistic that he actually was reading it to me, that if technology, and we're headed for just technology explosion, he said if things continue on the rate of increase as far as our knowledge and the technology, he said if it continues 10 years, it will have multiplied 37 times what it is right now. Computers, phones, gadgets, gidgets, I mean everything under the sun. Listen, I remember buying my first computer and I paid major money for it. I think I paid about $2,400 for a desktop computer that was only it wasn't even a gigabyte. Wasn't even 1 gigabyte, and I paid all that kind of money. I heard that Apple's coming out with one, supposed to be coming out around the end of the year, 17-core processor. 17? Where are they getting all that knowledge? Don't ask me, but I know this. Young people are mesmerized with it. They just like, I mean, it's like they're addicted. Amen. It's like a drug. If they were to go a day, we have youth camp, Brother Steve. We have our own youth camp. And I'm going to tell you, God meets on that hill. It's unbelievable. You know why? You're not allowed to have your cell phone. Unless it's emergency. Turn them in, get them back at the end of the week. And you know why they get fired up, shout, and repent, and cry, and worship God on the camp, but then they leave, they get their cell phone, they go back to the normal, the habitual acts of life. Next thing you know, the fire's gone. Why? You get something in your hand that's taken away what was in your heart. And adults, about the same. Let's all stand our feet. I'm done. Rejoice evermore. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask you to help us. Lord, I've tried my best to be obedient to you. Lord, you give us, Lord, unusual liberty, and that's in spite of us. Lord, I don't know tonight about anybody else, but I know that you've been dealing with my heart about this. Not just preaching this tonight, but you've been dealing with my heart about it. Lord, I'm tired of being that up and down preacher, up and down Christian. I'm tired of being in and out, on and off, all dependent on whether a valley or whether a trial or who's talking or who said what or who's coming or who's leaving. Lord, help me to get my eyes back on those evermore subjects that doesn't change night or day. It doesn't change with the seasons. It does not change. Lord, you told us to rejoice evermore. And if we don't do it, then Lord, that is sin. And Lord, I believe there's a lot in that statement of rejoice evermore. I believe there is a method there of evangelism, a tool of evangelism to show sinners that you can be set free, that you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory just by knowing Christ as your personal Savior. And you don't have to smoke nothing, drink nothing, pop any pills, go to any parties. Jesus is enough. He is the joy of my soul. Lord, I thank you tonight, oh God, for challenging my heart once again about this truth. Lord, I'm sick of being defeated. I'm sick, Lord, of living a subnormal life. And it's all because I get my eyes on people and things and the temporal and the carnal and the fleshly. And I get my eyes off of that which is evermore. Please help us tonight, I pray. Help the preachers. I don't know what man of God maybe have declined spiritually to the point now that they're mechanically preaching. They know how to get an outline. They know how to present it to the people. But there's no touch, little to no heart, and little to no results. Help that man of God to get in the altar and say, oh Lord, I'm tired of looking at this, that, or the other that's taking my joy, that's stopping my praise, that's stopping me from worshiping my Savior and living a joyful Christian life. I'm tired of it. Maybe that preacher's wife, that preacher's wife here got her eyes on church trouble, church problems, things that's been said about her husband, and it's taken her joy. It's taken her rejoicing. She used to testify, used to praise, used to honor you in verbal testimony. Verbal rejoicing. But that has been silenced. Lord, help that young person to reflect back when they used to rejoice, had a heart for God, wanted to serve the Lord, wanted to make a mark for Christ. But whatever has come in their life has stolen that away, silenced that which you deserve, Lord. Please help us. You're deserving of us rejoicing evermore. And you wouldn't have told us to do it, Lord, if we couldn't do it. In fact, you ended up that statement that we read, faithful is he who calleth you who also will do it. Have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Preacher, you come.